This is a podcast from RTE Radio 1.
Hello and welcome to Audioscope. We all have to access the health services at different times of our lives. What's it like if you're blind or vision impaired? Are there particular difficulties? I'm joined in studio by Joe Bollard, Audrey Tormey and Jimmy Gallagher to discuss what the health service is like. Also, we're hoping to get Pat Tresson. Unfortunately, he can't join us in studio because he's delayed at a hospital appointment, but hopefully we'll get him on the line later. Here's an account of what one blind person went through at a visit to a GP.
I told the receptionist when making the appointment to let the doctor know I was blind, which he duly did. As we entered the surgery, the doctor began by saying, "There's a seat over there." "And where might there be?" I replied. "Over there." I presumed she was pointing. "I'm sorry," I said. "I'm totally blind and can't see where you're pointing." "You're not going to believe this," but she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, the seat is over there." Still pointing, I imagine. She didn't move from the desk, so I started to navigate the room, and after banging my knee on the corner of the said chair, which added to my need to see the doctor even more, I sat down. She then said she wanted to listen to my heart, and asked me if she should call in the nurse to help me remove my shirt. Oh, come on, girl. She looked at my ears. I've got very boring ears. She opened my eyes and was preparing to shine a light into them when I suggested that it might be better if I took them out and showed them to her. They're both artificial, followed by an embarrassed laugh. From her, I hastened to add. Eventually, after a number of dreadful faux pas, the examination came to an end. "I am giving you this prescription," she said. I reached out a hand. Nothing there. I stretched out my other hand. Ditto. Where in heaven's name is this prescription? I fumbled on the desk. Lots of papers there. Anyone could be a prescription. I eventually walked over to her side of the desk, held my hand out in front of her and pleaded, "Can you give me the piece of paper straight into my hand?" And then it happened. While I was putting my shirt back on, the famous saying, "I think you blind people are so brave. How do you manage? Life must be pretty dreadful for you with that handicap." I smiled. Under my breath, I muttered two words, and the second one was off. As I reached the door to get out, her parting remark to me was, "Isn't it wonderful? You knew exactly where the doorknob was. You must have extra sense."
So, is this a typical experience? We've all had experiences of accessing health services. The piece that we heard read earlier on was about accessing GP services. But hospitals, GPs, overall, have you had positive experiences or negative experiences? Jimmy?
I'd say a fair mix, Bethan.
And what tends to be, what's a typical experience if you're visiting somewhere where, a GP or a clinic that you would visit regularly?
Well, to find the clinic in the first place, hospitals are hugely intimidating places. To get to the location you're aiming for is quite challenging unless you have to go there quite often, and none of us want to go there more often than we need. And sitting in a busy outpatient, I worry about if I'm being overlooked, if I'm missing my place in the queue and things like that. Now, but once I get to the doctor, everything is fine, really. I have no difficulties thereafter.
So it's really the kind of the getting to the you describe it. Once you're actually seeing that the issues, that there aren't sort of doctor issues, whereas the piece that we heard was sort of talking about issues about, I suppose, communication with doctors. Joe, would you have had mixed experiences with health services?
Yeah, both sides of it. First of all, a blind person going into a hospital, to be admitted into a hospital, it's pretty scary. No matter how, what's the word I'm looking for, articulate or how confident you might be. And blind people, like everyone else, have varying degrees of confidence. But take the scenario of a blind person being admitted, and the person admitting them might not be aware that the person is blind, because when you're going into the hospital, you won't have your long cane or your guide dog with you. You might not look blind. And immediately your bed's over there, and
that's
one of the worst things.
Yeah,
you know, to get to the toilet. Then you have the added difficulty of things like your dinner, your meals come along, they plonk it in front of you, they don't tell you what it is, they don't even tell you it's there. And it can be really, really traumatic. No matter, as I say, the point about the whole thing is that people mean well. They don't do this on purpose. They mean well, and they're doing it to the best of their, to the best they can. But, however, there's a tremendous lack of training, awareness training in hospitals.
I know personally I'm nodding in agreement, and the thought of having to go and stay in a hospital, it fills me with horror, despite having worked and working within the health service and, you know, being a therapist by profession. The thought of having to stay for those exact things. Are we being paranoid?
No.
Or is it paranoid thinking that this is traumatic? Because I would agree with you, Jo. I think it's traumatic.
I think it can be, Bethan, but I know some hospital staff would have some, I say some, very limited awareness training. I was in hospital for a week last year, and I didn't find, I mean, it wasn't a holiday camp, but I didn't find it traumatic, really.
The politics of hospital are very different to those you encounter in normal life. And to go into hospital after a long absence from such an institution, things that will have changed a great deal, you just take so long to get tuned into the systems, and nobody explains to you what's happening or why. And it is a bit... Now, and I would regard myself like Joe, not as confident as Joe now, I'm sure, but confident enough to say my piece. But at the same time, I'm just flummoxed by the whole hospital business.
They don't tell you who they are.
Maybe it's language, or the use of language that they use, or the lack of control that we have. Because none of us, whether we can see or not, okay, maybe you have a bit more control and kind of, if you can see, none of us have, I mean, your control is taken from you when you're in hospital. So you're kind of dependent on knowing what's happened.
But you don't even know who's talking to you.
Exactly. People come into the...
It could be the nurse, it could be the doctor, it could be the person in the bed next door getting up. So people, it's just so...
I
misunderstood what you were saying, Bethan. It is traumatic, yeah.
How did you manage it, Audrey, so that you're not as traumatised as Joe and I obviously seem to be by the whole experience?
Well, I spent a lot of time in hospital kind of over the years, especially kind of in my younger years. But certain things are inaccessible, like signing a consent form. Unless somebody can read it for me, I can't. I can sign my signature, but I can't actually access the information on the form. And yes, it can be very impersonal at times. And unless I ask, by the way, where is, you know, my dinner or whatever, I mean, I won't know it's there. I think...
What about if somebody's coming in? I know that certain hospitals might do something like ward rounds or whatever. If people are coming in, do you, as soon as you hear footsteps, say, who's that? Or are you more relaxed? Or how... The small things. What about getting to the toilet when you... Do you bring a cane with you? Do you find your way?
Yeah,
do people have issues?
I would have brought my... I wouldn't have brought my guide dog, but I would have... Now, if it was a long time... If I had need to be in for a long time, I probably... you know, I might ask about a guide dog, but I would have brought a cane with me, definitely.
And did people have issues with you using a cane?
Pardon?
Because I've heard of issues where using a long cane is a health and safety risk to other patients.
No, I didn't have any of those issues. Now, granted, most of the time I was there, it was folded up in my locker, but I had it there if I needed it. I think once I highlighted my needs, they were dealt with fairly okay.
I think it's important to speak up and to say, well, look, I can't see, you know, polite, courteous way, and just please tell me, you know, what I need to know. And
in fact, my experience as well was when the nurses had time to chat with me.
Hold on. When the nurses had time to chat.
Yeah, well,
but sometimes they haven't got time to chat.
No, I found that, like, in some cases they would like more awareness training, but just it wasn't kind of part of their training, you know.
Which is sad.
It is sad, because when you think they're dealing with people, and these people, the cohort of these people are made up by blind and vision impaired people, are people with disabilities. So yeah, it is sad.
And yes, as Joe pointed out earlier on, I think it's kind of coming across that people really are there to do their best. There's nothing vindictive or nothing nasty about it.
People are absolutely
trying to do their best.
Audrey, you've been doing... You're one of these people who do a lot of awareness training. Have you ever done any in any of the hospitals?
Some years ago we did some in some of the hospitals, yeah. Yeah, and it was very, I have to say, what came across was that people, kind of personnel working in hospitals, would like more. But for whatever reason, it just wasn't woven into their kind of training or...
Well, is now the right time to do more?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Hospitals are one thing, and they're big, and hopefully they're things that we don't need to go to. We go to at exceptional times. It depends on, obviously, whatever health issues people have. But generally, people need to go to their GP fairly frequently, or local health clinics and or centres. Is the situation better in a GP surgery?
It is in mine. I have occasion on a fairly regular basis to go to the to visit the nurse. Do that again. I have to visit the nurse, and she is an amazing lady. And from the moment I go in to the moment I come out, she puts me totally at my ease. She doesn't patronise me. I'm never pet or love or darling or anything, unfortunately. And she tells me exactly what's going to happen. This is for your blood pressure. This is what I'm going to do. She shows it to me. She shows me the needle, actually, that she's going to stick into my arm. And she keeps talking to me and tells me, oh, really, where the... For instance, she will not say to me when I come in, can you take your jacket off or will I do it for you? You know, and you know, she'll say, take your jacket off, there's the chair, shows me the back there. From the moment I go in to the moment I go out, the clinic staff are absolutely wonderful of late, both nurses that work in there. My own doctor, I get on really well with him. He just is so totally relaxed. I go into him and how are you, Joe? And we chat. And I don't think at any time during the whatever time we may be in there, unless it is necessary, does he refer to my blindness and tells me what he's going to do. Get up there on the chair, lie down there, I'm going to do this and don't do that. And then when I'm coming out, he actually brings me over to the door.
I remember some years ago, it was a good long time ago, and I was meeting a new GP for the first time, and they was asking me about my sort of, you know, old medical history and stuff, and he said, anything else? I said, no. And he said, and the guide dog?
Was he a vet as well as a dog?
And the guide dog, well, yeah, I forgot about that. That doesn't seem to me as a medical issue. It's not something I would consider. Jimmy, you said for you in hospitals, that you began by saying that the hospital experience, once you get to see the doctor, is okay. Is it the same within a GP? Because presumably a GP surgery is easier to get around.
Well, of course,
avoids that.
It's small, and yeah, no problem with the GP now, I must say. And thankfully, I don't see him, but very seldom.
But still, GP surgeries have things like, you know, reception desks and waiting rooms and things like that. Do you get assistance to find a seat?
You know, when you're going here, you give your name to the receptionist that you're going to be called. When your number is up.
And they will... What about finding seats and things like that? Will they assist?
No. They might not always volunteer assistance, so I just sort of potter around until some other client shows me to a seat.
But so, again, those kinds of relatively small things, I wonder how sort of easy it is if you have to sort of potter around.
It's not easy at all. It's not easy or dignified.
About 2 years ago, I had occasion... No, not 2 years ago, 18 months ago, I had occasion to visit my local dentist. He was fantastic. As soon as I walked in, he was a new dentist. And immediately I walked in, he shook my hands and shook my hand and brought me over to the dentist chair, showed me where everything was, made sure I spat in the right direction and told me what he was doing. And he was fantastic. Wasn't there too long, and at the end he reassured me that everything was fine. And again, he wasn't patronising, you know. He didn't pat me on the head and tell me I was brave.
Yeah. Audrey, well, how do you find GP surgeries?
Well, thankfully now I find GP surgeries fine, Bethan, and as kind of some people's experience, like because it's a smaller kind of environment, I would kind of be familiar with the kind of physical layout of kind of where you go when you go in the door or whatever. And I would find that kind of, I would have kind of a knowledge of what's happening, like if there's a procedure to be done or if I have to kind of find the chair, I would get assistance. So I don't find any difficulty at all.
Lots of the difficulties that do arise when they do arise are communication type difficulties, aren't they?
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
I wonder, and earlier on we sort of spoke about awareness and maybe more awareness for hospital staff. It seems that there's less of a problem with GPs, despite it maybe not being dignified, as Jimmy said. Is it because if you have a GP, you tend to build up a relationship with that GP or nurse, as you said? Whereas if you're in a hospital situation, you never get the opportunity to actually get to know any of the staff.
That's true. Unless you're in for a long stay.
Yeah, or regularly you go backwards and forwards.
And if you're going backwards and forwards regularly to the same clinic, you certainly build up a very good relationship with the staff, clerical and otherwise.
Where it does fall down is if a locum comes in, doctor's gone away on holiday.
Mm-hmm. Like in the example that we had earlier on.
Exactly. Yeah. And that does happen. I sometimes wonder, again, You, in your position as an OT, Bethan, did your colleagues, apart from you giving them any sort of awareness training, they probably picked it up from you, but would there be any people like OT during their training?
Certainly, since I know now, as a lecturer in occupational therapy, there is. And I do agree with you absolutely that all medical, paramedical, health service, and not only health service, but professionals should have some awareness training. Pat, you're on the line.
I am indeed, Bethan. Good evening to you.
You got caught up in a hospital situation waiting for a while.
Unbelievable, yeah. Two hours, 50 minutes just waiting to see the doctor. It was unbelievable.
How do you find, as a blind person, how was your experience today?
I wouldn't just say it's a blind person. There was other patients, you know. Every walk of life was in there. It was just an unnatural afternoon for the doctor himself. Some of the team had to rush off and everything else, so he was there by himself most of the day. It was just one of those awkward moments.
And in terms of how you find accessing health services, once you meet the doctor, obviously waiting times are waiting times and they're the same for everyone, regardless of whether we can see or not. Do you find staff aware, or do you find, are there any difficulties as a blind person?
I find them very aware now. Actually, it was about 18 months ago in St. Vincent's Hospital, I had a discussion with the hospital management and nurses and all, you know, to show them how to help blind people get access to the hospital, and you know how, even when, you know, as an inpatient, what to do for blind people, because sometimes I was left in the ward, the furthest bed from the toilet and everything else, with all the equipment strewn all over the place. So I was having a discussion with them about that, you know.
And what kind of things were you suggesting?
I was suggesting, you know, if you do, they do have the medical records and they do know when people are being in as an inpatient, I suggested, you know, get them in a bed nearest to the toilets, to all the facilities. Just have the nurses know not to be leaving them, say, chairs, wheelchairs, in corridors, put them in against the wall. Then generally, before I even settle in the bed, you know, just to give them a quick orientation lesson on where everything is, you know.
Earlier on, we were talking and we had a difference of opinion. Joe here finds that actually going into hospital is quite a traumatic experience. Audrey, on the other hand, was saying, well, it's not traumatic. And both Audrey and Jimmy were saying, well, you actually really need to be quite confident and to be able to speak up for yourself. How do you find it?
I will go along with Jimmy. You have to be confident and speak up for yourself, because they cannot read your mind. And unless, you know, they are not totally aware, they have to... Their nursing staff and doctors are involved in all kinds of illnesses, you know, and they can't just suddenly pick on, you know, your visual impairment and, you know, imagine everything that you need. You know, you have to say what you need and they will give it to you straight away.
We were saying earlier on, and everyone in studio, feel free to jump in again, communication is the main thing, and actually getting to know the staff. Has that been your experience, Pat?
It has, yeah. Well, there's one experience. This St. Vincent's now has recently, you know, just reopened a new hospital, basically. And the whole grounds, the footpaths I was so used to and getting in and out to the main door have all been changed. And so I've been having trouble. Even today I was having trouble. I had to go to a new clinic to find my way around the hospital. Today I have a sighted guide with me. But with the ordinary clinic I go to, you know, a kidney specialist, I've organised it with the nurse who gets onto the, you know, I have a special contact number. I get onto the porter's office. I explain what time I'll be in at the, to see my doctor in his clinic, and he's waiting for me at the front door.
Jimmy, you had to, Pat, I should say, you had to make those arrangements yourself.
Mm. Yes, yeah.
But that's often a key, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
But would you not agree that should be, if the hospital were aware, that they should be doing that?
Not really. You know, when it comes down to percentage-wise of patients visually impaired or anything else, it's very low. You know, they do have to cater for a lot of people, and they are under extreme pressure. And I take that into consideration. As I say, I speak up for myself.
But good practice benefits everybody. I haven't said that on the same token.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. That's why I was on dialysis for a while and trying to make it to dialysis unit. This is where I just copped on and started speaking up for myself. Mm. And when I was talking to the nurse who was helping me all the time, she says, yes, you know, I got on to the... They brought all the nursing management staff up and we had a good discussion about all the departments. Because they weren't even, you know, to show you to sit down.
Yeah.
They weren't even putting your hand down on the chair. They just said, sit behind you and all this. And I was explaining all these kind of things, you know. And when they're sticking in drips into your arm, you're not expecting it. You know, all they say is you're going to feel a sting here. You don't know where that
was. Where is that sting here?
Yeah, but there again, Pat, that was you having to do that.
You were being proactive.
Exactly.
You were having to do that. Surely, again, I come to the point that the hospital's staff should be aware that they should have to do that.
And the other thing is that Pat said that it's interesting, and I think maybe we've all kind of experienced that it's actually often the portering staff and the administrative staff that are actually the people who make a make or break in terms of how accessible it is.
Have you ever been turned away because of your guide dog?
No. I was talking to, I don't exactly know the name, but she basically, I've been told that a guide dog will not be allowed into any surgical area where there's open wounds.
Hmm. Well, that's
and that is acceptable to me as well.
Yeah, acceptable to me. It makes sense that.
Yeah.
But when there's not open wounds and when it is a situation where somebody is in for something or just, you know, attending a clinic, sometimes having the guide dog there is quite reassuring in terms of I'll be able to get to the toilet on my own if I have my dog with me.
Yeah. I was like, even after I did have a kidney transplant operation, and a friend of mine. I talked to the surgeon and she said no problem, he could come up with his guide dog and visit me, you know, which was a great, you know, I was actually surprised because it was a surgical ward.
Jimmy, you said that one of the difficulties, the biggest difficulties like Pat that you experience is when you have to access a hospital is actually physically finding the way around. Do you find that it's the porters and the administrative type staff that you use or that are most helpful to you?
Oh, they're the most readily available members of staff and they're certainly very good and very aware and terrific. Yes, I can already speak very highly of their helpfulness and readiness to be helpful. But I would just say, make a further point perhaps, when one is going, a blind person going to a hospital, especially for the first or second time, to bring a family member or a close friend would be hugely helpful and would demonstrate to the hospital staff how a blind person should be guided and shown to a seat and how things can be done with dignity.
If that's possible, if there is somebody that you can bring along.
Yes. There may not always, but if possible, certainly yes.
Unfortunately, that's where we have to leave it. We've run out of time. Thank you all very much for joining us. Pat, sorry you couldn't join us in studio.
No problems at all.
But thank you very much for joining us at the end on the phone line. Thank you also to Jimmy Gallagher, Joe Bollard and Audrey Tormey. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to a podcast from RTE Radio. For more details of our podcasts, visit rte.ie.